1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I'm kind of amazed sometimes when you you're just kind of looking at the Bible and kind of reading sometimes, and you know, you have read certain scripture time and time again, but they just certain things that you never did see. And then all of a sudden it just whoosh, just jumped right out at you, you know, and I'm just kind of amazed at that, how God does a lot of things. This is kind of a little bit of a different lesson in the sense of the way that like I said, it just kind of jumped out at me, and as I looked at it, we'll start in verse 25, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, the Bible talks about many are called, but few are chosen. And, you know, I've often wondered why God calls a sinner and chooses them to work and to give Him honor and glory. And I was kind of amazed at this lesson as I was studying it, how that I never really thought about certain things in this light that we want to kind of bring out tonight. Now, the next couple of verses, I want you to take notice of something. Verse 27. But God has chosen. Now, I want you to just kind of underline that. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Also, here it goes again. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, here it goes again, hath God chosen. And I was amazed at this, the things what God has chosen. And I thought about my life. If somebody had ever told me that I would have ever taught Sunday school or teach out of the Word of God, I would have called him a bald-faced liar. Because you couldn't even get me in church, much less thinking of me about even reading the Bible, much less trying to teach it or anything of that nature. And I'm amazed what God actually does. Which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, Brother Mike talked last Wednesday about the truth of the Word of God. And I'm going to bring out a few things tonight, and I want you to stop and think about some things. Now, we hear the Word of God a lot. Most of you that are here are very faithful. You come Sunday morning, you come Sunday night, you come Wednesday night, and you hear the Word of God. But I'm amazed at how the church and churches all across our country hear the Word of God and don't do the Word of God. And I'm amazed at how many people that even comes to our church that hears the Word of God but don't do the Word of God. Now, in the book of James, it says, don't be hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. Now, I know, you know, we talk a lot of times about do, do, do. To me, all you have to do is simply obey what God tells you to do. And when God tells you to do something or speaks to your heart about doing something, then, buddy, you need to do it. And that's because we hear the Word of God, and I'll share this with you. I don't mind telling you. I've heard the Word of God many times. Sometimes God speaks to me when the preaching is preached, and I think, boy, what a great lesson. I need to do this. Well, Monday morning, I go on about my business. Yep. I don't know about y'all, but that's easy to do. I heard it, knew I needed to do it, but I did not do it. And I'm kind of amazed at this, but I had a little thought that God laid on my heart. the things that God chooses. And I'm just kind of amazed at this. Now, first of all, I want you to take notice, you that have been called out, you that has God has come to you and you're born again, God has chosen and appointed you to do a particular work for Him. He gave every one of you a particular gift, a spiritual gift, to work and use for Him. Now, the disciples was chosen among the many multitudes. Back in Jesus' day, He chose the disciples. Now, from a human point of view, I want you to think about that just a minute. He didn't choose the ones that was powerful back then. He didn't choose the one that was religious. He just chose little bitty ordinary folks. And actually, this is what this lesson is about in a lot of ways. It's just being about ordinary folks. And I'm kind of amazed at that as we looked at that. Now, you and I sometimes, when we look at people, we have a tendency to look at people in certain positions. How much influence they have. What they own. How they dress. What kind of car they drive. We put all kind of emphasis to a certain degree on some of these things. And which we should not. God does not put any emphasis on the position you hold, how much money you have, where you live, or what you drive. He could care less. Now, as we look at this, He chose the fishermen of Galilee, just plain folks. He did not regard their humble position or of their culture that they done. But He called them to be His ministers and disciples, to be His friend. Jesus chose me. I did not choose Him. And I found out that when a person gets saved, that's the way it is. God comes to you. He comes to me. And He goes to everyone. Now, as we look at this, there's something else. Believers are chosen. Now, this is including you. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. You are chosen and ordained of God and sent out to serve Him. No man ordained you. No man is going to send you out. God will send you out and get you to do what He wants you to do. Now, I know we set aside deacons and we ordain preachers. But do you realize that you're a priest and a minister? Ever born again Christian is a priest and a minister. They have a certain responsibility that they have to do, no matter who it is. Now, there's a supreme purpose that the believer has to do. And I'm going to bring out some things that is required of you and God has required of you to do. Now, Brother Mike brought out how true the Word of God is. And when I bring this out, let's just think about ourselves. Don't think about your neighbor next door to you here. One who's sitting by you. Think about you as we look at this. First of all, I want you to think just for a second. You are an ambassador. God has, Bible tells that we are an ambassador to Him, for Him. We represent the foreign country. We represent heaven. We represent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has sent us out into this world, down here, to be an ambassador to Him. Now, you take the President of the United States, Nikki Haley, he sends her out all over the world to represent the values of our country. Now, I want to ask you a question about that just for a second. We as an ambassadors are supposed to tell the world what Jesus has done for us. Now, I want you to think about this. Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." Now, you and I are a witness and an ambassador for Christ. There's no way around it. It is required of you and I to be an ambassador. Now, we always think, well, we send missionaries over, which we do, and I'm glad that we do, and I'm glad this church really supports missionaries. But you and I have our own missionary fields. It's our neighborhood. It's our work job. And no matter where we go, it's even in our homes. You're an ambassador even in your home. Even in your marriage, you're an ambassador how you react as a Christian. No matter who you are. Now I want you to think about that just a minute. An ambassador is required to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness for Him. Now I want to ask you a question. I've heard a lot of times, well, I just don't know what to say to somebody. I just don't know kind of what to say. You know, I just don't have the word. Well, let me ask you a question. You know what happened to you? You know who come to you? You know who saved you? That's all you got to do. Simply tell them what God has done for you. That's it. No more, no less. God don't require just a whole, but you are an ambassador. How we live, what we do. All right, there's something else that God requires of us. Go to John chapter 15. We are required to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a witness, to bring people in to the church to hear the gospel that are lost, or to witness to them so that they can be saved and they will be saved. All right, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, there's several things about this fruit here that I want you to just take a look at. Number one, there's no fruit. Number two, there's bearing fruit. Number three, Christ purges it, there's more fruit. And in verse five, there's much fruit. So it all depends on what you want to bear. You can bear no fruit. You can bear more fruit, much fruit. Ever what God really wants you to do, you can do that. Now, but also I want you to take notice. Remember what I said a while ago that I've heard people get this excuse, well, I just can't talk. Well, without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and stirring you, you can't. Without Him, I just read in verse 5, abide in the vine. You got to be in Him. And that's kind of amazing. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, and I'll just share a little bit of my story here when I first got right with the good Lord. All I wanted to do, all I had a desire to do was get in this book. God really gave me a desire to get out. I didn't know one thing. He gave me a desire to get in this book. But also, in 3 months, they throwed me in the fire at church. They gave me a Sunday school class with three boys. One of them was mentally challenged. And about 2 weeks later, I found out about two boys, other two boys, what kind of boogers they was, and I had to straighten them out pretty quick. But within the next couple of years, I didn't know how to teach. I didn't know enough about this book to teach. But they throwed me in the fire. Oh, and I prayed. And I studied. And a friend of mine, I got him to help me. We grew up 15, 16 teenagers. And we worked with them kids. And prayed for them kids. And studied. See, without God, I never would have been able to do it. I can't do it without Him today. All these years later. I can't get a lesson together without God. It's Him. And it's all about Him. It's not about me. But what amazes me is He'll take you and some little old country boy like me, and He will use you. He will use you. Just let Him. That's all you have to do. Just let Him. Alright? Here's something else about this. As we talk about bearing fruit, we have the fruit of the Spirit that lives within us. I want you to think about that in Galatians. Alright, another thing we're supposed to do, we're supposed to live and move and have our being in Christ. Another thing we're supposed to do is a person is supposed to continue in church and serving the God, the Lord God that we serve. Now, there's a couple different ways in continuing and serving God. One is being faithful to the house of God. Now, to me, that's where we fail the most as a church as a whole. Now, every church that I've been at, here, other places, other churches I know of, Sunday morning, it's packed out real good. Sunday night, it's about half what it was. Wednesday night, it's even lower. Well, where are they? The Bible says to forsake not assembling ourselves as the manner of some does. Now, Sunday is the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is from daylight to dark to me. That's His day. No matter what. It's His day. If we have church Sunday night, let's come. Wednesday night, if we gather together, our obligation is to come. How are you going to grow unless you hear the Word of God? How are you going to get fed unless you hear the Word of God? You're just not going to get it? You know, you can miss a service, but you can't ever go back and get it. No matter if it was great or even if it wasn't, you still cannot go back and get that great service that you missed. And every time, sometimes I've been sick and I'll ask somebody, I'll miss church and I'll ask them, well, how was service? Oh boy, we had a good one. I missed it. I can't ever go back and get it. Alright, not only that, a person does not walk or continuous in sin. Everybody's going to sin, but we don't do it continually and let us affect us that way. A person surrenders himself to obey God's commandments. Now, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the commandments that's in the New Testament that God has given us a commandment to do. Number one is love one another. It's a commandment. Not stab somebody in the back. Not to talk about them. Or to think somebody is higher than you. Nobody is higher than you. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. No matter who we are. Next of all, the indwelling presence and witnessing of the Spirit of God. It's up to us, to you and I, to witness and represent Christ as an ambassador to Him. It's our responsibility. He called you, He chose you to do these things. Not to sit on the stool and do nothing. He chose you to do these things. Alright, next of all, a person is to dwell in love and unity and fellowship with other believers. Why did He choose the weak? Why didn't God call the mighty? Why didn't He call the influence, as we read here? Why did He call the wealthy or the rulers or the politicians? Why didn't He call them? You know, you stop and think about it. I'm kind of amazed that God, you know, you and I look at people in such a different light. Even in church, we have the same problem that the world has to a certain degree. We think of this person, you know, well, what kind of vehicle they drive. We think of this, or what kind of job they have. Or we think of this, and what kind of clothes they wear, and everything they put on. Listen, all we need to think about when we come to church is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Praising Him, worshiping Him, uplifting Him. When we all get to heaven, ain't nothing down here going up there but us. You know, your money, nothing else. But Proverbs 28, verse 26, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Many noble, high-minded, upper class, possession earthly, knowledge, influence, noble, is not acceptable to God. All are sinners. All stand at the same at the foot of the cross. Now, and we're going to touch on a little bit more about why God chooses the weak and the foolish things of this world here just for a second. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, for if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, the problem with politicians and thing and people that sometimes that are rich is pride. Pride. You stop and think about it. Now, I'll use Hillary Clinton for an example when we get into foolish things and base things over here. about deplorables, and I don't know what all she called us, but that's how they think of people and things as we look at this. Now, let's go to back to 1 Corinthians, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now, I want you to think about that, this term, the foolish things. Now, he used the word foolish things, I want you to look at this, instead of foolish people. Now, he's talking about foolish things, not necessarily foolish people here in a way. Of course, people are foolish when they don't accept the good Lord and don't want Him, but and do a lot of this stuff. Now, many of the wise in the world look upon those who have little as nothing as things. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. By weak, it does not mean that you're weak in body. It does not mean that you're feeble. Now, it's not when he talks about weak here, he's not talking about that. He's talking about somebody that does not have position. Talking about somebody that does not have influence. He's talking about somebody that does not have authority whatsoever. He's just talking about just ordinary common Joes. I mean, I'm an old country boy. That's me, a redneck one at that. I'm always kind of amazed, you know, my wife still calls me a redneck. But anyway, she'll get me later. But I'm kind of amazed at how God chooses people that does not have all kind of authority and all kind of power and all kind of things. And the reason is because most of them, now there's some that he does, now don't get me wrong. He has some. There's some very wealthy people, and I know some that are really humble Christians. But also, I'm amazed at how that he just takes the ordinary people and confounds the wisdom of this world. It's just amazing at this. Now, you have no excuse for not working for God. None of us have an excuse whatsoever for not doing these things that I have brought out. And there's many, many more. You can't write out all of them, but there's many, many more. Now, to accomplish great results, let's look at some of the things in the Bible just for a second. Now, let's talk about Moses. Now, in your mind, when I mentioned Moses, what did you think? Well, Moses was a great man. Was he? Did I get your attention on that just for a second? Was he? When he threw the rod down, who turned the rod into a snake? Was it Moses? Matter of fact, Moses stuttered. He told God into giving him Aaron to speak for him. But we want to put Moses up here. The Jews want to put Moses up here. But God done all the work. See, we have no excuse for not working for God because God will do the work for you. Some more examples. All right? What about Samson and the jawbone of a donkey? I don't know how many thousand he killed. Was it Samson? Who gave him the strength to do it? The Lord. Not only that, the one that touched me the most in this, you remember the widow woman, a handful of flour and a little oil. Now, I want you to think about that. She didn't have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Going to fix one little cake, her and her son were going to die. But yet, God. So what kind of excuse do we have? How much do you trust God? How much faith do you really have in the God that you're serving? How much? Do you really believe the Word of God? Brother Mike brought it out, how true that it is, but it goes in one ear and out the other. We hear it, but we don't put it in practice. You got to put it in practice. Stand on it. It's true. It's going to be here when the world's on fire.
And it's still going to be here after it burns up. God's Word never changes. He tells you time and time again that He will be with you, that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, that He loves you, and He will help you do the work. So when you stand before God, and 80% of the church sits on their hiney and 20% works, what you going to say? I've never understood it. When God touched my heart and done what He done, all I wanted to do was do something for Him. And it's been in my heart ever since. Never went away. I can't get it out. And I don't understand. And I'll be honest with you, I've worked in Sunday school, all different things, and I've asked people, for an example, would you like to teach? Would you be a teacher? Well, I've never tried it. I don't think I can do it. I'll pray about it. Well, when they asked me, and it ain't no kudos for me, and I'm telling you this up front, I just wanted to work. I didn't even know what I was getting into. That's how dumb I was. Seriously. I'm amazed that people don't trust the God they say that saved their soul. And I'm as guilty. Don't get me wrong. Oh, these times I've doubted. These times, and I'll tell you this, I've hit the ground so hard, well, I ain't never going back to church. I've done it. Not only once, but it's been more than once. Now, I don't mind telling you. But there's always been a but. You know what God's always done? Pick me up, jerk and knock my little hiney, take another step, son. He's always has. And I thank Him for it. And I praise Him for it. But God will give you the power to be an ambassador. He'll give you the power to be a witness. He'll give you the power to be a teacher. He'll give you the power to work, to do what God wants you to do. God is willing. The Bible talks about the fields are white, ready for harvest. Next question, how many of us go out in our community and witness? How many people have you invited this year? Stop and think about it. Why? Why don't we believe what God says that He would do? You know, they might not come to church when you witness, but that's not the point. God wants you to talk to them. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and this is true, and I've had to live with it my whole life. I was working one day, and this young man, I was cutting his hair, and he kind of made fun of the good Lord. I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut. Anyway, next time he'd come in, God dealt with me to talk to him. And I did, but not like I should. I went all the way around the world and beat around the bush. Well, the next week, him, five more teenagers had a wreck, and one of them got killed. I'm going to have to answer for that. I never forgot it. I was his, as far as I know, his last chance. The other day, one of our neighbors is lost and undone. And I know he's lost. And he's on his last leg. He's in bad shape. And God spoke to me about going. And a couple of days I didn't go. But I was in there studying for the lesson. Oh, here goes God again. I said, oh, I ain't making that same mistake again. I went and done what I was supposed to have done. And as far as I know, he's still lost. But it's all for me. It's all for me. See, God requires you and me to simply be obedient and be an ambassador for Him. You know, I really love the Lord. He's done so much for me. I could tell you story after story and time after time what He's done, but we don't have time for that. I'm going to read you, and we're running out of time. I know. I ain't looked to see what time it is. Well, we got a few more minutes. Let's look at the base things of the world as we look at this. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Now, as we look at this, the base things of the world, if you'll notice, they're things. They are the mighty. God don't choose the mighty again, and we've done covered a lot of this, but we truly have no use. The base things of this world. Now, I want to ask you a question. I've heard of preachers doing this, dress up like a hobo, you know, outside, and people come in and just kind of ignore them and go on in church and not say, get up and come on in, you know, to church. We do look at people of how they dress and what they have, and what if you know a murderer? Would you witness to him? You know, somebody that's vile and a criminal, all of these things, would you witness to them? Or is it somebody that just, you know, ordinary? You know, why do we put people in classes? You know, God don't put people in classes. There's no big eyes and no little U's. We all stand, and I'll say it again, stand at the foot of the cross, no matter who we are or how much money we have. Now, there's some scripture I'm going to read here, and it's just in the back of my Bible. I love my Bible and things, but I'm going to read some scripture, and I'll let the book talk to you. Malachi 6 and 8, it says, he that showed thee, O man, what is good, what doeth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to have mercy, to walk humble with thy God. Luke 22:26, the Bible says, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. James 4:10, Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the others. You know, nobody likes this little word submit anymore, no matter who it is. Submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble. One more place I'm going to go to is Psalms 34. And I want you to listen to this. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in God. Isaiah 41, verse 10, I want you to listen to this very carefully. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed,
for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a promise from God. So we have no excuse to serve and be an ambassador, to bear fruit, and to be a witness. God called you. He chose you. Can you imagine? Don't you think about this? You know, we think about how high the President of the United States is. Well, we're serving the King. President ain't nothing. We're serving the King. King of kings and Lord of lords. The one that come to you and saved your soul. I'm amazed at how God just comes to the ordinary folks as a whole and wants them to show the world who He is. He chose you to do that, and me. May the good Lord bless you, Brother Mike. I'll turn it over to you.